Hey everybody, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors this week, Credible.com. You know, student loans can completely wipe you out if you don't get a handle on them. How do you do that? Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace for student loan refinancing, and using their simple platform, it takes less than 2 minutes to find out if you're overpaying on your student loans. Plus, you could save thousands by refinancing. All you have to do is visit Credible.com/PressRow. Answer a few quick questions, and right away you'll get real rates, not ranges of rates, from multiple lenders. Credible.com is completely free to use, and checking your rates will not affect your credit score, so you really have nothing to lose. The average user who refinances through Credible.com saves almost $19,000 over the life of their loan. Think about what you could do with $19,000. So, for a limited time, our listeners will get a $200 welcome bonus when refinancing through Credible.com/PressRow. Pay off your student loans faster or lower your monthly payment, whatever works for you. Just go to credible.com/PressRow. Okay, everybody, before we get to the show, I just want to let you know that this is launch week for Out of the Park Baseball 19, the official sponsor of the Press Row podcast. We are so excited for this year's game. We want everybody to get their hands on it. It is the best version of Out of the Park Baseball ever made, and that's saying something, considering the long and rich history that this franchise has. Out of the Park Baseball 19 can still be yours early, and for a 10% discount, all you have to do is go to ootpdevelopments.com and pre-order it today. That means you'll get it early, which means Monday, and if you're listening to this the day the show comes out, that's only a couple days away, before its worldwide launch on March 22nd. You can also pre-order it on Steam for the first time ever. You can go to Steam right now and pre-order Out of the Park Baseball 19, or you can pre-order it through EA's Origin platform. You can pre-order it anywhere. You get that same 10% discount. It's fantastic. And if you're an EA Origin Access subscriber, you get to play Out of the Park Baseball 19 on Thursday, March 22nd as part of your subscription. There are so many ways that you can get your hands on Out of the Park Baseball 19. Go check out the brand new trailer. It's live on YouTube, ootpdevelopments.com. You can check it out there, obviously. If you follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, it's there. We've also released some gameplay footage featuring all the new visual upgrades that we have to the in-game screens and the animations, the guys running around the gorgeous 3D ballparks. Out of the Park Baseball 19 is a fantastic version of the game this year, and we think it's going to have a wide appeal to a lot of people, whether you've been a long time Out of the Park Baseball player or whether this is your first time. And during launch week, the great TJ Lowerman, aka That Sports Gamer, and Chris Jardine, aka Snaggle J, will be doing a ton of live streaming, and we've got a whole bunch of our partners doing some live streaming of it as well. It is going to be a celebration of Out of the Park Baseball, and don't miss live on MLB Network on March 28th. We unveil our predictions for who is going to win the World Series, and basically we simulate the whole season. Tons of great stuff, and of course we got it right last year when we picked the Astros. Out of the Park Baseball 19 comes out March 22nd worldwide. You can get it early if you go to otpdevelopments.com and pre-order it. Get yourself 10% off. So you get a $40 game for $35. Not bad. Thanks, everybody, for supporting Out of the Park Developments. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Press Row podcast. Enjoy the show.
So here we are. It's March Madness time. And that means everything bracket related is popular. And with that in mind, here at the Press Row podcast, we're doing one of our own. Later in this episode, we'll be rolling out our favorite sports game since 2010 tournament, which will be partially determined by votes from all of you out there through the rest of the month. Before that, we're going to get into MLB The Show 18's franchise mode, with the news related to it having been met by fairly widespread disappointment. First, though, let's introduce the panel for the episode, find out what everyone's been up to. Rich Grisham, start us off.
What's happening? How are you? It's great to be here. Very excited. This is going to be a lot of fun. I have continued to play the 4K sports goodness, continuing our FIFA online league, including Cat Bailey, who thumped me twice in our two matches. They were competitive, but she beat me. But she always beats me whenever we play. I mean, occasionally I'll beat her in NHL. But in Madden, she owns me and has for years. I don't know what my composite record is against her. I would say it's probably somewhere in the I've won six and she's won 30. So, but I also have played some other folks and actually won some games. FIFA, it's not as good as Pro Evo. And I'm talking apples to apples, Pro Evo on the Xbox One X versus FIFA on the Xbox One X. But FIFA's right now, where it is, as far as I'm concerned, is pretty good. I use the same control scheme on both, meaning I use the default controls on FIFA and I change the controls on Pro Evo. But I'm really enjoying FIFA. The fact that I'm not absolutely terrible helps. And the reason I'm not absolutely terrible is because just, I guess, by osmosis playing so much Pro Evo, I'm able to do some things in FIFA, like score every once in a while, which I've never really been able to do. I'm better at sort of possession and building up for shot attempts. Not great, but better because I've been able to win some games. So been enjoying FIFA. Last night, I finally got around to putting Forza 7 into the Xbox One X and playing the 4K HDR version of that. That was spectacular. Raced a couple different races, including one in the it's in the third tier of the Forza Championship Series. I don't know what any of them are called, but you know, some of them are like six races and some of them are just a single challenge that you have to meet. And there was a really cool Porsche challenge where I had to come in first in a race where everybody was racing the exact same model and make of a Porsche. So Forza 7, super fun. And continuing to play, I won the NBA title in NBA 2K18. I can't believe I waited or almost forgot about it, but I did it probably the day after we recorded the last show. So one is the Wizards with only John Wall really playing because Bradley Beal broke his leg after the trade deadline. That was fun, and now I'm in the off season where, and spoilers for the story because I'm playing my GM, the original owner who sold the team halfway through the season has bought the team back, and so there's a whole drama. Now, what's interesting is they didn't account in the story mode, the cutscenes or anything, for the fact of you winning the title, because after you win the title and the rest of the story plays out where the new owner comes in and you agree to stay on and he agrees to keep you, nobody is happening to mention the fact that, you know, you should be wearing a giant championship ring and, you know, talking about the fact that 2 weeks ago you won the whole thing. So that kind of falls apart a little bit, you know, but that's fine. And so what's interesting is I'm going to go through, there's a whole off season, which I haven't gotten through. I'm going to have to try to figure out whether I'm going to keep on going or not, you know, because there's a lot of stuff to play, but NBA 2K18, I'm probably going to keep on going and do a second season, make a bunch of crazy trades or something. Or I also had saved both the real-life Wizards and the real-life Sixers seasons very late in February. I've saved those off under, you can only save three files, right? Three franchises. So I got those other two. So the other thing I'm doing is sort of picking up where the real NBA was on February 28th is either the Wizards or the Sixers, and sort of playing it out the way that I did in my GM. So those are all the different things I've been doing. And boy, again, the 4K situation, I know I'm a latecomer to it, but wow, it's great, Brian. It's fantastic. Love it.
Have you, I don't remember, I don't think you had last time we talked, have you played Madden on it? Because like I mentioned before, that I think the most dramatic, not just in terms of visuals, but in terms of how the game actually performs, the most dramatic jump was with Madden on Xbox One X.
I did. Glad you asked. I played one game, and what I did was what I hoped I'd be able to do, which is somehow just find a way to play the Super Bowl. Because Brian, I'm not sure if you remember, but the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl this year. And they are the world champions right now and will be for, you know, the next year, which is, you know, not sure if you were aware, but that's a thing that happened. And so I was hoping I'd be able to do that, right? Because, you know, win or lose, you know, I've got a great feeling about the game no matter what. And so I did it. There was, right? I was able to just, like, play a live game or whatever it was called. I don't even know. But it was the Eagles and the Patriots and the Super Bowl in Minnesota with the right rosters. And it was great. I got my butt handed to me, though. Oof, I got beaten bad. Now, to be fair, I only played offense and I simmed through the defense, but I wasn't very good. I think I lost like 24 to 13 or something like that. I wasn't good. I'm not good at Madden anymore. Yeah, that's a problem. But other than the fact that I'm not good at Madden anymore, it looked amazing. And I know it's like I'm a broken record, if anyone even knows what a record is anymore. But it, all of these games on 4K that I have been playing just look superb. I mean, I don't usually talk about it, but I'm not a big fan of the, you know, shooty shoot kill kill games, but I've been playing Assassin's Creed Origins on the Xbox One X as well. That game might be the best of all of them as far as, I mean, it's already a great game playing, but just the way that it looks, the way that ancient Egypt is presented is just stupendous. So, yeah, played some Mad, was impressed, but I'm just so bad at it, I don't know if I'm going to play it much or at all, because there's so much other stuff that I'm not quite as bad at. In some cases, I'm actually pretty good at.
Okay, we've also got Mills Gaming TV here with us. Mills, what have you been playing? What you been up to lately?
Actually just upgraded, now that we're talking 4K, upgraded my monitors and I got a 4K capture card. So upgrading everything to 4K, at some point. I figure my entire house will be 4K right in time for 8K to come out. So I think
that's the way it always works.
Perfect timing, right?
Is that what's next? Like seriously, or is that just the thing you're making up?
No, I think 8K is the next thing.
Is it?
I think that's the next. Yeah, it's a while away, but I mean, it's not. It's always right on the horizon when it comes to technology for me. I'm always right there, right before it moves to the next step. So, but honestly, game wise, I've been playing a lot more of MLB The Show 17, kind of getting ready for 18 to come out. I'm playing a lot of Rangers franchise. I'm on the Fortnite kick with a lot of people. Trying to upgrade my battle pass and get better, and, you know, try to be a little ninja that everybody wants to be these days in Fortnite. But on my PlayStation and Xbox, I'm not in the PC waters for that yet. And, finally, I'm also playing a game on Xbox called Deep Rock Galactic, which has been a lot of fun. It's a procedurally generated kind of mining sim, but it's also got creatures and stuff. You have to go down, get the mission or quest done, and then get back out. And getting back out, you have like a timer to get back out after digging a hole in the middle of this planet. And it's always different getting out, and there's different enemies. It's kind of cool. It's very intense. And just overall fun just getting away from sports games every once in a while.
Yeah, everybody needs a break, I think, even for us. and maybe even for that sports gamer. TJ.
Maybe. Possibly. I'll just start by taking back everything I said last episode. I got my WWE Champions account back on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
I'm playing the poop out of that. Great game. I started playing that Fortnite thing. Apparently, I'm the greatest player in the world because I just go in there and I've won like 5 games without really even trying. I think I'm the second best player behind Drake, possibly. And I just hit a 2-run home run with Michael Conforto and MLB The Show because I'm doing a tournament before MLB 18 comes out. And that's a good way to score runs is home runs. And what else did I complain about last week that I can turn around and not complain about now? I think that's it. Everything else has been good. Excited to go to PAX East in a week or two here. And then we got OTP and MLB coming out next week.
Oh,
it's
baby.
A great time to be alive.
Busy times, yeah. This is, as I mentioned at the top of the show, it's March Madness, but it is also spring training, and both you and Mills talked about playing MLB The Show. So let's start there. We have all the details now, basically, on franchise mode, which has been hotly anticipated for a while now. I think going in, almost inevitably, there was going to be negativity towards franchise mode because of the removal of online franchise. So that was going to dominate kind of the narrative going in. But, you know, there was still hope for something interesting to come out of franchise mode or something worthwhile to come out for the offline franchise mode. Essentially, what began the day of the reveals for franchise mode was a PlayStation blog titled, literally titled, Everything New with Franchise Mode. and it contained basically two minor things, and that was it. So the day didn't get off to a good start. It went into phases, which, you know, arguably isn't really even a feature. It's just surfacing information, surfacing tasks for you to do to make it a little easier to, I guess, navigate around. And then the ability to play games in retro mode if you decide to do so. That was basically the extent of the block. And of course, anybody wants to compare that to the blogs that, say, NBA 2K puts out for their multiple franchise modes. I mean, it was absurd, the difference. But then they also held a developer stream later in the afternoon where they went into some of the other things, I think briefly. I don't think it was really extensive, but some of the logic that's been tuned that could end up paying dividends, of course. Mills, you followed pretty much every moment of the day, every development as far as franchise mode goes. And I know you found more to take from what they put out there than maybe a lot of people are seeing on the surface.
Yeah, and the phases, you're right. The phases is a reskinning much in the way that Madden did big decisions. They take things that are already in the game and they put them at the forefront, even on the main home screen. And while it's a reskinning, what we found out, especially today, and not only my stream, but the Sony stream, is that a lot of people don't know, like, what Rule 5 is. And they were losing players because they don't know that if you don't put guys on your 40-man, you lose them to the Rule 5 draft. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't, like, contract renewal is one of the hardest things to understand in the show, because you have to offer a contract that you're not expecting the guy to sign by December 2nd, so that way you can renew him for the same money in late February. It's a really dumb rule for the MLB, but it's an MLB rule. And in the show, there's no way to really know that. You get a pop-up screen really quickly in 17. Now it actually separates all of that into information on the home screen for you, and it shows you. Last year, it was impossible to tell who your Rule 5 guys were. You had to go into your roster, you had to bring up the player card, you had to R1 three times, and then you could see Rule 5 eligibility. Now it puts your Rule 5 guys right up on the home screen for you, and you can see who you want to protect in your minor, in your 40-man before the Rule 5 thing comes in. It has the contract renewal guys. It shows, hey, all you have to do is offer these guys a contract. If they accept it, so what? Otherwise, you're going to re-sign them in February for 80% of the value. And it puts all of that out front for you. So while the phases is a reskinning for a casual user of franchise or a newer user or even an advanced user that doesn't know some of the rules, it's pretty substantial in terms of putting that information in front of you. That being said, that's not what hardcore franchise users are looking at. Towards the end of the stream, they started talking about under the hood logic. They started talking about how, like, for bullpen logic now, the closing pitcher is struggling after every series, not only the CPU, but if you have your settings on auto, but mostly for the CPU, because offline franchise, obviously, they will actually put a relief pitcher in as a closer for a temporary amount of time, unless that person starts to struggle as well. That's huge for franchise gamers, because closing pitchers were way overvalued by the computer and have been for years now. It's been one of the requests in terms of roster management that we haven't been able to get, that we haven't had fixed by them, and now they're fixing it. And the same thing for something along the lines of retirement logic. They were talking about how there were eight, they used examples. They had a 17 roster at the end of 2018 from MLB 17 that they did the retirement for. They took the exact same roster at the exact same spot, imported into 18, and the retirement was completely different. In 17, you had a 26-year-old a potential prospect at 66 overall that ends up becoming an all-star if you in 18 that retired in 17 because of the dreaded poor free agent market that we all know about. They had a closing pitcher that was 19 and a B potential. What ends up happening in 17 is he retires because of poor free agent market. In 18, he comes back, gets signed by the Tigers, ends up 5 years later at an 80 overall, and becomes an all-star in his rookie year after doing 30 saves in the first half of the season. And while some of the people that don't play franchise mode, that doesn't sound like a lot, like, you remember those players in your franchise mode. When you have a drafted player that outperforms or becomes a star for you, you remember those guys. I had a guy in MLB 16 on my stream named Sonny Aoki. I asked people in my stream today, do you remember that guy because of the story that he was from when he was a rookie to a right fielder to a World Series MVP? And there were people in my stream that this is 2 years ago when I first started streaming, remembered that name. Because that's what franchise does. It allows you to tell stories. And yes, if you look at the surface on what they added to franchise mode, there is no back-of-the-box feature this year. There is absolutely no back-of-the-box feature. Again, it's much like Madden, where they streamlined a lot of stuff for newer users, but then they went back and, you know, fixed a lot of under-the-hood stuff. Mm. But they fixed things that have been legacy issues that have been plaguing franchise gamers for a while. And I'll ask one more question of everybody here. I don't know what big back-of-the-box feature they have left to put in franchise mode. Three-team trades isn't a back-of-the-box feature. Like, okay. International free agents, what could they put in?
I'll give you a big one. Create a team, expansion, create a stadium. That's one I've seen people asking for a long time. I think you have a lot of those create features within Diamond Dynasty, at least creating uniforms, right? The opportunity to transfer that over, because you see that successful in NBA 2K. You see it successful in NHL. You see it successful in Madden, at least as far as relocation goes, that people actually utilize those features and find them to be fun, kind of to direct their own experience and kind of build the way they want to. Now, those are, of course, high-level features, and maybe it's not worth the investment, but that's what I see people asking for. And then, of course, there are many other management type features that people would like to see in or see things handled differently. But you're right. I mean, I think it's other than those creation type features, you get to a point where, you know, it's diminishing returns, especially in a mode where they're obviously they know they're not going to make money from. So it becomes I see how that's a difficult balance. But at the same time, what I see also is comments from people like on my site, on Reddit, on social media, on Operation Sports. They're just copy and pasting franchise mode. It hasn't really changed in 5 years. There's really nothing new. And I'll tell you, you know, like you could, the argument, of course, can be made that it's still good or I'm still planning to play it. You know, I'm still going to enjoy it. But for me going in, I have no excitement. You know, I have no excitement related to franchise mode. I don't see why I'd want to go and start again. Maybe if you're continuing from the last year, you'll be fine because it's your nothing really to disrupt you a whole lot. But last year we got a lot more. Last year we had the critical decisions. Is that what it's called? And then player morale playing a bigger role and things like that. So there was at least something done last year. And I think going in for me and for a lot of people I've seen, there's just really nothing to get inspired by here. I mean, TJ, do you feel that way or do you feel differently?
I am super excited as someone who hasn't played franchise really since MLB 14 or MLB 15. The stuff they did last year was
that's a different scenario, I suppose. If you've taken a few years away, this is your perspective. Okay.
Yeah. So, especially, I really like all the phases stuff, just so I don't have to go digging through menus and try to figure out what's where and where do I get my Rule 5 guys? Who do I have to go tender and all that? I think the phases thing is a great idea. I know a lot of people are just complaining that, oh, they're just streamlining it. It's like, yeah, that's a good thing. You know, I don't want to spend hours and hours going through menus to spend in the off season. I want to know what I have to do, bang through that list and be done. But I mean, not everybody's like that, I guess. So I'm actually really excited. We're going to be doing a fantasy draft franchise on the stream, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I think everything they did was pretty good. And yeah, I agree. You know, if they're not going to do relocation and expansion and all that stuff and stadium builder, you know, there's really not much else to really ask for, I guess. I would love to see the jersey maker move over with the amount of real life teams that are getting changed every year. I think last year, 11 minor league teams came in with different names or different uniform or different logos and everything. So I think that would be a cool addition to bring into franchise. Yeah, I'm actually really excited. And I think really nowadays, that's kind of how you have to play sports games is if you're going to dive hardcore into a mode, maybe take it off the next year or two just to, you know, clear your thought of process about it. Like, I haven't played Road to the Show really in 2 years with how Diamond Dynasty has been. And I'm excited for Road to the Show stuff that's in there. And I've seen a lot of other people complaining about it. So I think with all the sports games now, with such a limited dev cycle and everything, you're probably better off taking a year, if not off the whole game, or at least off certain modes. And I think you'll be a lot happier with that decision than just trying to keep doing the same mode year after year.
Rich, you approach a mode like this differently than some people, and that's you tend to simulate a lot, and you tend to try and influence a little bit along the way, but you simulate a lot. So what, how are you looking at this franchise mode this year? Are you still excited to play it, or is it diminished kind of because it's just basically for you? I think as far as simulating through a lot of this stuff, you're probably not going to see much different from last year.
Brian, I'm glad you used the key word approach. So different people approach different games with different desires, or they're looking for a variety of experiences, right? Where I approach MLB The Show, what I care about is 94% on the field and 6% everything else. And when I say on the field, I mean playing the games. I've said this, before. I want MLB The Show's on-game or in-game experience to be fantastic because that's what I play, right? And but I mean, like, not just, the controls and the look and the feel, but also the baseball intelligence in the game, right? Does the pitcher get taken out at the right time? Are the right substitutions made? Are the right decisions made on strategy, when to walk someone or intentionally, sacrifice? Like, all of that. That's what matters to me with MLB The Show, because the way that I play it is, generally speaking, a high amount of it. It becomes my game on my treadmill for 3 or 4 months, and I play 2 or 3 games at a clip, simulating large parts of each game, and then hopping in and playing out the last 2 or 3 innings. So what I want from franchise mode, personally, I'm completely fine with every year if they don't have to do anything, because I don't pay attention to most of that stuff. I'm also not saying this because of, obviously, out of the park, but if I want, and I did this before I started working with them, if I'm looking for a deep franchise mode, I'm with far as projections and simulations and stuff like that, I'm going out of the park, or I'm going to something else. What I care about with the show is the gameplay. So for me personally, I'm good with it. However, having said that, I want to be clear. I completely understand that people want more. I get it. I just personally, with how I play the show and the amount of time that I spend with it, this stuff impacts me the least. Theoretically speaking, as long as there is a mode where I can play 162 games in a universe, because I don't go 3, 4, 5 seasons, right? The most I've ever gone is 2. None of that stuff really impacts me. I totally get what other people are saying, but I'm not going to have fake outrage. It's something that I'm not personally outraged about. I'm cool with it. And it's not like there's not a lot of stuff to do in the show. There is. But Brian, you were saying some things that would be cool to have. I agree with you. Those things would be cool. But, I'm not personally, I'm not unhappy with it. But, that's just my personal approach.
Mills, you weren't here with us when we were talking about the removal of online franchise. So I'm curious, on the bigger scale here, as far as franchise mode as a whole goes, is it just taking a backseat to the Diamond Dynasties of the world? Is that because the focus is going elsewhere and franchise is a dying mode? And it's not just the show. We're seeing it in some other games. Maybe there'll be revivals there too. But is this a dying mode, Mills?
It is tough for video game companies, I'd imagine, to continuously explain to their stockholders why they would be putting major upgrades into a mode that brings back sales up front, but nothing else, when you have other modes that are doing so well on digital revenue on the back end. Now, I talk about that as does to the quote unquote suits of dev teams. I think developers want to work on franchise mode. I think developers love franchise mode. That is, you know, I know some of them love the competitive side as well, but like it, in the stream tonight, we saw two guys get on the stream on MLB The Show that said they chose to work on franchise mode. They were given the opportunity to work on different modes, and they said, we want to work on franchise mode. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the development team wants to. And I hate to say this as being a franchise gamer first, until they find some way to either separate franchise mode from the game itself, or, and this is not just MLB The Show, like you said, this is mm-hmm. franchise modes across the board, or it goes to a subscription-based service that we've talked about so many times before. I don't think franchise mode gets completely crapped on, but it will not get the same updates that other modes get. And to be fair, when it comes to card collecting modes, it's really easy to give content to those modes. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like, you know, hey, we don't have to worry about doing anything, but like they still have to plan it out, but it's digital content. It's literally putting a card in the mode.
Yeah. And I know we've seen that in recent years. I just wonder, is it not the case that, and TJ, I wonder what you think on this. Is it not the case that the show, for example, and this is true of other games too, but the show was built upon kind of a hardcore following, a hardcore fan base that supported it when it wasn't as popular as it is now. And those are traditionally more slanted towards franchise mode. And you can go back and look at other sports games that built and kind of from the ground up, you have to have that base of really supportive, hardcore players of your series. And then the casuals kind of come on board as it becomes popular. And we've seen a longer term strategy as far as having that set of features that people can rely on and they can invest their time into. But now it's gone more towards the Ultimate Team and Diamond Dynasty. And is there not a shelf life for those? And I've always thought Ultimate Team, for example, would eventually run out of ideas and eventually people would get tired of throwing their money at it year after year after year and starting over and having to throw more money at it year after year after year. But you can come back to the stalwart and in a franchise mode and know what you're getting and know, but maybe we're just growing out of that. Is that change? Is time changing as far as consumers go too?
Yeah, I think this is just the way things are going to go. You know, the developers need to make money. This makes money. So they're going to put their efforts into this. And until it stops making money, they're going to keep doing it. I mean, look at the games Activision is putting out. You know, they're notorious for running series and ideas into the ground. And like Call of Duty is finally starting to get some pushback. And now they're having to change things in Call of Duty. I don't think we're really going to see a big shift back towards franchise or anything until the numbers start changing. You know, I still see a lot of people like, oh my God, I hate Ultimate Team. I hate Diamond Dynasty. They never update franchise mode, but I've still bought the game the last 5 years and they haven't changed anything. It's like, well, that's not you continuing to buy the game. It's not going to change anything. You're just telling them that what they're doing is right. If you keep giving them your money, they're assuming that what they're doing is right. So if you really don't like how a game is being developed or what they're doing with the development, you really just have to speak with your wallet, because anything else is not going to show up it's not going to show up on a business line that's going to make something change.
Brian, you asked the question earlier, is franchise mode dead? And I say, absolutely not. Franchise mode is not dead. If anything, the games that we play now are bigger and broader than anything that came before it. And that's saying something, because we've had some pretty diverse experiences, you know, really since the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. But
is that though just because we've had years building to where we're at now, we're not really seeing, besides, I mean, we have to exclude NBA 2K from this, with the exception of NBA 2K, no one is investing into franchise mode anymore.
But I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, that's a bold statement, and I think that there's a lot of differences, right? First of all, franchise mode is not going anywhere, because everybody that makes these games wants the most amount of people to play it, right? They want as many people interested in it. So franchise mode, no matter what, is a absolutely necessary thing for people to, for a significant number of people that would not buy the game otherwise, you know, which is why they've also introduced these story modes. All of the major sports games, except for the show, have had one or more story modes in the last 2 to 3 years. The franchise mode, if Ultimate Team / Diamond Dynasty is the engine, if that's driving the bus, franchise mode is the transmission. It's a huge part of it, and the game falls apart without it. Not saying that they couldn't take Ultimate Team or Diamond Dynasty and go free to play with that. They clearly could, and I'm shocked that they haven't, especially after seeing the insane success of other things that have gone free to play with limited modes that are, you know, taking over the world, like Fortnite, or just incredibly popular and profitable, like, you know, many others. But regardless, for a you know, $45 / $60 AAA sports game, the franchise mode is absolutely not dead, and it's going to continue to stay pretty similar for the next probably 5 to 10 years, because these games are about, I think, in a lot of ways, much more about what happens on the court or the ice or the field than, you know, what happens in a 10 or 20 year career statistically. I just, it's, you know, you're not going to change baseball into space aliens versus zombies, right? It's baseball. It's the same sport. It's played under the same rules, you know, every single year. It's not like you can go crazy every year. And again, I understand that there's things that could be done to add to it. But, you know, again, franchise mode, not dead, still vital to every single one of these franchises.
All right, so we will revisit franchise mode and everything MLB The Show, because we are, what, just over, we're a week away from the game releasing. So all of that will be coming with review show and impressions shows and everything. We're going to hit on all these things and see where did they deliver, where did they not, and did anything exceed our expectations, and what didn't. So all of that will be coming up. Maybe a little bit in next week's show, definitely in the week following. But now let's transition to our tournament selection show. We are going to do a bracket of 16 games, all the games released since 2010, all on consoles. The rules for selection were to have, of course, released after 2010, no more than 2 games from a single series. As it turns out, there will only be 1 series that has multiple editions in this. Factored in review scores, sales, consumer sentiment, and consideration was given to the nominations that were provided by all the panelists on this show, plus Kat Bailey from US Gamer and Snaggle J, Chris Jardine, all provided their own nominations. And I put that into a bracket of 16. We're going to run polls over the next couple weeks through the Press Row Podcast Twitter. Those results are going to account for 2/3 of the final tally in each matchup, and then the remainder will come from the panelists' own votes. So ultimately, with a smallish field, there's going to be some well-regarded games left out, especially from the annual franchises. So if you're voting, you might want to put your support towards whatever series did get nominated, representative of the series itself, because it may be a year that you actually preferred over the one that was nominated. But the field as a whole is pretty diverse in terms of numbers. It favors the back half of last generation over the first half of this one. I'm going to have some of that breakdown later. But I'm going to start revealing the brackets now, and we'll get some thoughts from Rich and TJ and Mills and see where you think these games are at. And then also, if there's any games that were left out, feel free to throw those in at the end. We're always open to controversy and arguments.
Hey, Brian, before you start, yes. Real quick, I just want to say this was a really interesting – you mentioned it briefly – but this is not only this generation, but also the back half of last generation. It was a very interesting thing. I had to do a little more research than I expected to because there were a couple of games that I was originally putting in here. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, that was like 11 years ago or 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to mention it was really interesting to sort of have to look at a 10-year period across two different platforms, but not the whole part of either platform.
Yeah, and what also is interesting about it is you're looking at kind of the part of that last generation when it was peaking, and then have we really reached the peak of this generation? That's harder to say. I ran a tournament similar to this, but I think it was 32 games, and it was for the best game of the last generation. This was like 5 years ago or something. And some of these games that are involved here in this tournament were in that, including the two that went to the finals of that. Actually, there's probably three or four from that went really deep. So really, that was kind of fun, too, is seeing how they stand up now and if anything has changed since then. So I'm going to start with one side of the bracket, and that's, okay, it's a 1-8 matchup. You're getting the powerhouse of NBA 2K11, which was the winner of that last generation tournament. NBA 2K11, of course, introduced the Jordan Challenge, introduced classic teams. It was really the game that began 2K's ascent to its place as a cultural phenomenon now. Unfortunately, no matter what game got the eighth spot here, it was going to be a sacrificial lamb, I suspect. So that game ends up being the eight-seeded WWE All-Stars, which was a lot of fun. That game was really fun, maybe the only enjoyable WWE game in like a decade plus. Anyone have thoughts on this NBA 2K11 versus WWE All-Stars?
NBA 2K11 is generation-changing for the NBA games. It did things, like you said, like the Jordan Challenge that we hadn't seen before. The gameplay was amazing. It is still to this day stands as some of the best gameplay in sports. I love WWE All-Stars. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm wrestling like Mark, but WWE All-Stars, as fun as it was, has got no chance against NBA 2K11.
Yeah. I don't think anything I could have put there would have a chance.
Yeah. NBA 2K11, you said it. An absolute milestone in video games, and I'll withhold any more commentary about that until later on based upon what else happens. But it's a well-deserved number one seed.
So, TJ, I'll go to you first on this one.
Whoa, this I had a comment about the last one.
Oh, well then go ahead. Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
In retrospect, I really feel bad that I left out from my list either WWE 13 or 14. I think those both had really great story modes in them. And I still have yet to play WWE All-Stars. I should probably fix that at some point. But I'm too busy playing WWE Champions.
Yeah, that game still holds up. Yeah, it still holds up.
But can I match three to do a choke slam? Because I can do that in WWE Champions, so it's pretty hot.
You can do a lot of crazy crap in that game. It was a pretty wild game. Really wasn't anything like it on the market anytime around then. So that was kind of a neat one. I thought it was cool to have it included here. But TJ, with the next one, the 2-7 matchup, the number two seed was the game that eventually fell to NBA 2K11 in that best of the last generation tournament. It's MLB The Show 13. Okay. MLB The Show 13 takes on the number seven seed Fight Night Champion.
I'm not going to lie. Any game that has PS Move functionality where you can use your motion controller and PlayStation Eye camera, because I literally have the MLB 13 The Show case sitting next to me at all times just in case. Did I even pick that one? I think I picked 14.
No, you had a different one.
What was so special about 13 other than the sweet, sweet PS Move functionality?
So that I remember. Crossplay,
home run, derby. That's kind of awesome.
introduced postseason mode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, postseason.
I was looking at the back of the box, man. Come on.
That was. I went back and looked.
Beginner mode. Yeah, some would say it's so real, it's unreal.
I went back and looked, and I think what was really appreciated about that game was that they improved the game, they made it more fun, but they didn't sacrifice realism. That was one of the lines I looked at when I was reviewing some of the winners of the community awards in the past and our own personal sports game of the year voting. MLB The Show 13 was really highly regarded back then, and like I said, it went all the way through that big tournament I did, all the way to the finals. So people have good memories of MLB The Show 13, I think. But I do feel, TJ, a lot of them kind of blend together. It's hard to pick out one MLB The Show and say, wow, that was really the standout, I think. Yeah, because it's been so gradual over the years. I don't know, do you agree with that, Mills?
I mean, I love the fact that MLB The Show 13 got on here. Don't get me wrong, but I think there's a little bit of nostalgia factor when you pick a game like MLB The Show 13 when a game like 17 exists. Like, if you put 17 next to 13 at this point, even with, like TJ said, some of the things it did with PS Move and all, like, it doesn't stand anywhere near what 17 does.
Yeah, 16 is better than 17.
See, here's the problem. This is exactly the problem. But I would say none of those games, because their online sucks.
16, actually, 13 had probably the worst online of all these. So
16 was probably the best online.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I did put. So that's true. You know what, Mills? Guess what? I did put MLB The Show 17 on my list.
It should be, if you're looking for a baseball game in the last last 8 years from 2010, I don't know of any game you could possibly put there besides MLB The Show 17, 16, even with the server issues.
16, better game.
But see, what did 16 do better than 17?
I could hit in 16. Can't hit in 17. That's exactly what.
You're getting old.
Get ready for 18, because you're not going to like 18.
I know that. I know that. Trust me, I'm very upset. Very upset.
But let me tell you why 13 obviously is the choice here. This has SimulaView technology, which I believe is that thing that was built into that PlayStation TV. Do you guys remember this? Where two people could look from different angles of the TV and see two different images. Which what? I think is... You don't remember this?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, my God.
It's SimulView.
SimulView? No, that's not an L. Maybe it is an L. I love that idea. I wanted to get one of those TVs. Because what I hate about couch co-op, specifically in MLB The Show, is they pretty much know where your pitch is going unless you turn off the pitch trail thing. And SimulaView, which I'm going to call it, allowed you to play, you know, just the regular way you play versus another person on the same TV with them playing as the way they would be playing. Huge technological breakthrough. Fairly sure that PlayStation TV was the only thing to ever do it. It also had stereoscopic 3D mode, I guess. But hey, Home Run Derby with a Move controller probably wins this whole thing for best gimmick in a sports game.
Right, so its opponent, nobody talked about Fight Night Champion, kind of introduced, it didn't introduce it, but it was really kind of rolled out the story mode that we see now becoming a staple in other sports games. So that had a big impact. I didn't love Fight Night Champion, but the story mode was pretty revolutionary at the time. I mean, it had been done to a lesser scale in games like NBA The Inside. But that was really the first time they dedicated story mode as kind of the primary mode in a major sports game. So it has some influence now, even today.
Actually, I think a bigger thing that it introduced, which sadly, well, we talk about it all the time, but no game has actually, I don't think, done it since. After its initial release, I think when it came out, did it come out on like PS3 first and then Xbox? One of them.
I remember one of the fight nights being staggered like that.
They allowed you to digitally purchase parts of the game individually. So you could buy just the champion mode, or you could buy just the career mode or the online and stuff. You could just buy the modes that you wanted.
Yeah.
I think it added up costing more than if you just buy the whole game. But, you know, we talk about them splitting out MLB, splitting out Ultimate Team and Diamond Dynasty, or, you know, if you really love franchise, pay $20 for franchise and prove it separately. So I'm surprised nobody else has done that, but Fight Night did it. I thought that was pretty interesting, because I think It must come out on Xbox first or something, because I think on PlayStation I only bought the story mode.
Mm. And it's a boxing game. I mean,
it's the last one.
Yeah, exactly. It's the last boxing game we've had because of boxing kind of falling off a cliff. And you can definitely see, if you look at the fighting games now, even the EA UFC series, what was it called? Spectrum Control or whatever for the punches. You can definitely feel the same kind of idea in terms of the motion and everything. Mm-hmm. And the presentation of that game, the presentation was like unheard of how good it was. I thought, especially like you said, the career mode, the story mode, which was the champion mode, it was called. That game just blew my mind when it came out. And that's the game that everybody always cites back when they say we need another fight night game, because of how good that game was. And it's unfortunate that boxing is as a whole is in the place it's in right now, because I would love to see another fight night game. And I think there's rumors of like this Floyd Mayweather working on two separate games right now, and one of them might be maybe a fight night game. So I have my fingers crossed for that.
Mm. All right, let's move on to the next one. So if you do like any of those other MLB The Show games more than 13, just vote for 13, because there's no other MLB The Show in the field, because NBA 2K is the only one that got two. And with the three seed is NBA 2K16. And I know we're even going to have debate there because Rich likes 2K12. But NBA 2K16 gets the nod here, a little separation from 2K11. NBA 2K16, which I thought was probably the most complete, the deepest in terms of features, sports game maybe ever made. And it was one of the few games I've given a 10 out of 10 to on a review. It takes on number six seed. And here's another one. There will be a slight debate because there was some votes for this one and some votes for another. Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12, the Masters, also receiving votes, also receiving nominations, was Tiger Woods PGA Tour 14. But it's Tiger Woods 12 that gets the nod here. Introducing the Masters, obviously, was a very big deal at the time. And, yeah, it was a well-received game, even as the Tiger Woods brand had started to decline in terms of popularity. But the game was fantastic at the time. So NBA 2K16 versus Tiger Woods 12. Rich, your thoughts?
It got a lot of them. So I guess now it's probably a time where it's okay for me to reveal sort of a couple things about games I picked and where I picked them. Brian?
Sure.
Okay. So Tiger Woods PGA Tour 12 was on my honorable mention because it was probably the best version of that game, plus having the Masters in there. You know, even if you're not a big golf fan, that's a big deal and a unique thing. And I really played a lot of that game too. So I have absolutely no problem with this game being on the list. I'm happily surprised at that. NBA 2K16. So you got two NBA 2K games in the bracket. I picked mm-hmm. neither of those.
I know.
My pick and my number one game, my number one seed is NBA 2K12. NBA 2K12, I've done more than 100 reviews for Metacritic sites, mostly GamesRadar. NBA 2K12 is the only game I've ever given a 10. Now, granted, I'm just me. I mean, it's not like I'm some critic, amazing critic. I'm not. But that's the only game I ever gave a 10. That was the year after the Jordan Challenge. The game was mm-hmm. better, and I was obsessive about that game because I had to beat the Legends Challenge, which was even better than the Jordan Challenge. The Jordan Challenge was great. NBA 2K11 is amazing. I have no problem with being the number one seed. But for me, NBA 2K12 was the game. It's too bad that's not in the bracket because I think it's the best. But I have no problem with NBA 2K16 at all either. But wouldn't it be my personal choice?
Yeah, we could easily populate a bracket with half
NBA 2K. Yeah, and I'm nobody. Well, that's not true. Plenty of people are, but I'm an unabashed NBA 2K fan. Love the series. Some years, like this year, takes me a little while to get into it. But that's because it keeps coming out earlier every year. You know, I get into NBA 2K, generally speaking, around the same time that I normally do, which is like late October, early November. So Yeah, it's you can make right. a whole bracket
well,
of NBAs.
Rich, yeah, I would say, you know, NBA 2K12 may be better, but as far as memorable, and I think that's kind of a little more what we're going for here as right. far as what are people going to remember as their favorite games over the last 8 years. That is probably why 2K11 would have
it.
The edge there.
I yeah. get it. But for me personally, I went yeah. nuts on 2K12. That was I liked it even more yeah. and played it even more than 11.
Yeah, absolutely. Mills, you have any thoughts here? 2K16 versus Tiger 12?
Tiger 12 for me would be better. 2K16 was great. But again, if we're going to go with a 2K game, 2K11 kind of blows all the other ones in terms of placement out. Tiger 12... the Tiger Woods series as a whole being one of the better golf games going wasn't even the golf game that I put up. But Tiger 12, just I remember spending hours of time on the 360 playing that game. Just the Tiger series as a whole at this point. Another sore spot missing from not only EA's lineup, but the sports gaming lineup as a whole right now. Gotta liken it just to golf or just to the boxing to Fight Night because golf is in the same place. There's no stars in golf anymore after it. Well, maybe Tiger now coming back, but you saw they tried with Rory McIlroy. Sales were terrible. They tried to go subscription based with that and it didn't work because no one cares about Rory McIlroy, as you can tell now.
Yeah. But like, just real quick, I downloaded Rory McIlroy. I didn't mention it. Right, but I downloaded it through EA Access on the Xbox One X. I played 18 holes. Whatever version of it I'm playing, the latest version of that, really impressive. That game, really impressive. They did a lot.
It was the first one that used Frostbite, right?
Yes. And it's also, you're right, it's a fantastic golf game. It is easily one of the best golf games ever. But when it comes to mechanics, but when it comes to everything else, there really wasn't much to it. Like,
They added some stuff, though. There's more there.
Yeah, now. Right. I know there's more there now, but mode-wise, like, I don't feel like mode-wise it holds up to a game like 12. There's not a lot of, you know,
That brings up. I totally agree with that. I'm not saying better than 12. I'm just saying Rory McIlroy, the game's got some value to me anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Gameplay-wise, like I said, it stands up with any golf game at this point. My problem is we're starting to see, like, there were a bunch of games at the very end of 360 that had so many modes that were so good that it feels like we're still playing catch up on a lot of these series. Oh, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to some more of those later where we'll say, yeah, absolutely we are from this certain game. TJ, before we move on, did you have any thoughts on this 3 versus 6?
Not really. I'd probably take Tiger Woods, but that's just because I played the ton of that one. I think was 14 the one that added the online country clubs?
Yeah, it might be.
I think that's why I picked 14 over 12. And as you know, I am a diehard NBA 2K fan. So,
oh yeah, I knew you weren't going to have much to add there.
what year fine. Did we say? Because I have 17, 15, and something in my shelf. I don't think I played 12.
Yeah. So yeah, 2K16 was this one. So, oh, are you talking about Tiger?
Or oh 2K? No, 2K. Yeah. I do have MLB 13, MLB 2K13 on my shelf. So,
all right.
If I need to hop back into that, we're good.
So this next matchup is a fascinating one to me. We have a game that has become it's not Fortnite, but it's been played by over 30 million people. And we have another game which was historically a very popular, very popular one from childhood and returned and rebooted. And so we have Rocket League as the 4 seed. It was released like 3 years ago now, and it's still incredibly popular. And then we have NBA Jam on Fire Edition, which released, I think it was in 2011 or 12, as a downloadable game after they had rebooted with NBA Jam.
What a matchup. Mm-hmm. What a great matchup.
This is probably my favorite pairing because they're two unique, very unique games and games that we don't see much of.
And NBA Jam wasn't even supposed to come out, right? Wasn't that supposed to be added to Elite 11? And then when that got canned, they spun it out?
Yeah, that was one, too, that followed on. I think it was like within a year of the first NBA Jam, and that was missing a lot of content. And then they packed it all into this one as a downloadable only.
Yeah, On Fire Edition wins by default here. I will stand by the same thing that I've said multiple times on this podcast. Rocket League is not a sports game. I it's a great arcade game. It's a great arcade experience. But if it's a sports game, then the games
they
like
have, literally they have a hockey mode and a basketball mode.
They can call it anything they want to call it. Rocket League, as it is played in the most modes, it's not a sports game. I'm sorry. Just isn't. It's a great arcade game. It is not a sports game. And I stand by that. On Fire Edition, vote for it. Vote early, vote often.
I still play on Fire Edition. That's literally one of two games that I still play on my Xbox One. Forza Horizon 3, I guess, is the one. And NBA Jam on Fire Edition.
Can you play online in NBA Jam on Fire?
Yeah.
I can play you, TJ, on my Xbox One?
I mean, yeah, if you give me like $50 so I can get Xbox Live Gold.
And you need a Games Pass. Or no, EA Access. Either one. I don't know. Which one's it under, Rich?
That's going to be the Games Pass.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's just backwards compatible, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's why.
But I bought it. So I had it even with that. You know what? I bought it. So maybe that's why I have it. It may not even be on the Games Pass. Now that
I think it was.
Well, it might be. But I bought it, which is why I have it anyway. Because, yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't even know it was backwards compatible. I saw it one day. Or when I think when backwards compatibility came out, I just happened to turn my Xbox One on and was like, oh, I can play this now?
Look at that. Sick. Yeah. That's, you know, what that's like the nice thing about the digital. That was a digital only game, right? Like, that's why I have it. Because, you know, as long as the platform stays around, like anything I bought on the Sony platform now, just, you know, on the PS3, the PS4, it all just works. Same thing with the Xbox. All that 360 stuff. I tell you, that's a hidden gem about the Xbox One, is that all the 360 stuff just works. Because, you know, I have a lot more 360 games than PS3 games. And boy, that's it's nice to go back and play some of those.
I do believe it's also available on PlayStation Now.
Like Crackdown, by the way, which just became backwards compatible, which is ridiculously fun. And now I can play it on my Xbox One because at least I never traded that one in. Which
is one of my favorite games ever.
And the upcoming Crackdown will be on Xbox Game Pass.
The upcoming Crackdown is never coming out. But
yes, it will.
That's another story.
All right.
I hope it does.
That's
not going
to
happen.
Let's move over to the other bracket then. We'll begin here. Let's snake our way through, and let's begin with the 4-5 matchup here, which I think is another interesting one, but for different reasons. So the number 4 seed, we have Madden NFL 17. This is the only Madden that makes it in. It was the highest reviewed of this generation, and I think it was the best Madden since Madden 10, and Madden 10 released in 2009, so it wasn't eligible here. So Madden 17 makes it in. They made a lot of smart decisions with that game, improving the gameplay experience, especially. And then it's facing off against number 5, and this one surprised me because I wasn't sure where people were going to go as far as NHL, and everyone who mentioned NHL went with NHL 13.
Yes.
So that's the number 5 seed here. So I'm curious to see, Rich.
Yeah.
I know NHL 13 was the game that had GM connected.
Yes. But
is that the reason everybody's going back to NHL 13, or is there something more?
Well, it's the reason, but it's not because GM connected existed that I go back to it. I go back to it because me and TJ and Scott Binns and, you know, the now famous NFL Mike Clay, like we had a great online franchise or GM connected that we played a ton of all the way through the championship. And it not only was that part fun, because the NHL, if anything else, everybody knows NHL online games against friends are spectacular. Like, it's just video game fun. That's what it is, right? So then being able to, what was one of the cool things I loved about it is because it was only like 4 or 5 of us, right? So you'd have a lot of games against the CPU, and you could play blocks of 2 or 3 games, right, in your like 10-game schedule, right? And then you could, you know, play online and stuff. So that's what it was. Yes, it was powered by GM Connected, but, you know, it's not because GM Connected was there. It was because, you know, and TJ, I know you remember, we just had a blast playing NHL 13. That was a great game.
Yeah, I went with NHL 11 because loading screens connected was a lot of fun, but oh my God, did I hate having to wait for that.
Yeah, it was better in 13. 12 was unbearable. 13, they improved it.
Yeah, I think I went with NHL 11 mainly because I wanted to go with NHL 10, but because of sports year numbering, That was the 2009 game. I still feel like those are those like 8, 9, 10, 11. For me personally, I still feel like that was like the peak of gameplay when I think like 8 when I think Jordan Stahl was on the cover. They had like a little run there where that game just felt amazing. I think I broke multiple controllers doing saucer passes. The R2 button on the PS3 controller was not great for hockey. But yeah, I'd probably take... I like NHL so much that I've already forgotten what the other game up against it was.
Madden 17.
Yeah, I was burnt out on Madden 17. But like by the time we got there, I thought 15, 16, and 25 were so good that I'd played so much that this year I barely played any Madden.
You know, let me since this is the only Madden it's going to be, let me say I actually had a Madden game on my list, but it was Madden NFL 25 on the PS4. The reason,
yeah, I think TJ had that one too, which surprised me. Nice. It surprised me because you that was one of the lowest. Crazy. That was one of the lowest rated Maddens we've had.
Which one, the PS3 version or the PS4 version?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think PS4 is the one that I picked. I'm sure you did too, TJ.
No, I don't think so. I think the next gen.
I was console agnostic in my decision of Madden NFL 25.
No, the reason I had Madden NFL 25 PS4 version, I'm very specific here on my list, is because Brian, do you remember we were not expecting that game to be very good, and it turned out that it was very stable in the online franchise, and we wound up having a lot of fun because the game was just good.
Yeah,
it was unexpectedly good and stable. And I remember we played. Yeah. We played all the way until the next game was released, until like three That's weeks true. Before the next. Yeah. Time. That game was legit good on the PS4.
Yeah, I remember that. So that was good. I think it was mostly because, we were enjoying online franchise so much. The next matchup, I'll talk about why we'll talk a little bit about why maybe I don't see that madness being that good. And it's because it wasn't the best sports game that released for the next gen, that first wave of sports games in next gen. It's something else, so maybe that took a little bit a backseat there. But as far as reviews go, it was actually fairly low reviews.
Yeah, I don't care about reviews. I just remember, it's about like
it was fun.
Every game on my list is again from my approach to it, not the Metacritic approach. I don't care. And I remember we had a ton of fun with Madden 25 on the PS4. That's why it was on my list.
It was a big deal for me because I was hardcore into Madden on Xbox. Up through Madden NFL 25, and then when it came out on PS4, I switched to PS4, and I have not looked back since.
Madden 25 was a disaster on the 360 and the PS3. It was terrible.
I think you just need to use speedbacks, and speedbacks were really good on that version. But then when they moved to next gen, the powerbacks were real good.
I just want to state that you guys are crazy. NHL 14 should have been here instead of 13.
Yeah, you had NHL 14 on your list. You're the only one who had that one.
That had no chance connected. It doesn't...
It did.
What?
NHL 14 did. 15 was the next gen one.
But 15 did they even make 14?
Yeah, 14. Yeah, they had John Van Biestrook on the cover. It came out with NHL 94, the remastered 94 mode in it.
Okay,
the
so
Beater?
That was Marty Brodeur.
If the game existed.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Hold on, wait a second. No, it was Marty Brodeur, but I mean, but that wasn't skipped. Like 15 was the one
they skipped it.
Oh, they skipped the next gen, right?
They skipped it on next gen. Did they release a current at the time current gen?
Isn't that the game it came out like a month before the PS4 and came out, right?
And got buried. Yeah,
so we didn't care about it. So that's why it's not on my list because I didn't play it. I didn't I guarantee it.
Yeah. Perfectly fine that no one cared about it. It was easily better than 13, especially online GM connected, considering it involved mobile. You could do mobile stuff with like for the commissioner. There was progression during the season. The ESHL had online seasons in it, especially, and Hutt had it as well. And again, it had a Winter Classic mode.
Was GM connected the next year.
GM connected was the one got left behind in NHL 15. Correct. 15 is the eyesore of the NHL series that almost didn't come out. Sorry, you're right. It was Brodeur, by the way. But 14 blows 13 out of the water, even though it released for last gen when next gen came out.
So Not only did TJ and Rich have NHL 13, but also Snaggle J and Kat both had NHL 13. So it's a clean sweep there besides you.
They're all crazy because I had a group of players that I played 14 with, even though we had next gen consoles. It's not my fault you all went next gen and decided to leave hockey behind.
All right, fair enough. So this next matchup, 3 versus 6, I'm going to call a bit of an audible here and let you guys help me decide which FIFA gets the 3 seed here. Because I was having trouble. I got nominations of both, and I went back and looked, and FIFA 12, okay, FIFA 12 won Community Game of the Year, won my personal Game of the Year that year, although I don't think I was really impressed with the slate of games that particular year. But FIFA 12 introduced the Player Impact Engine, which has had a big, big, no pun intended, impact on that series ever since, the physics engine, as far as how players, it was wonky. It was a little wonky at first, but it was a big kind of innovation at the time. FIFA 14 was, I think, pretty much understood to be by most people the best of the new generation sports games that first year, that first crop of games. FIFA 14 came through as far as full feature set, stability, and it was subtle improvements in gameplay, but as I went back and looked, the atmosphere was really what was electric, and I think that was the Ignite engine at the time, which was a marketing buzzword, but it actually made a difference as far as the atmosphere goes, which FIFA has always excelled at. So Rich, FIFA 12 or FIFA 14 there?
Well, it's interesting, Brian. I didn't have the only FIFA game I had on any of my lists, and this is not even on my official list. This is only an honorable mention. It was the 2014 FIFA World Cup game, which was lightning in a bottle for me. Played it for, 6 to 8 weeks and just loved it. I played almost every FIFA. Didn't have any on my list because none of them have ever really struck a chord with me the way that all the other games on my list did. So I'm going to say 14. Just because I did not really, I couldn't really get the first couple of next gen FIFAs. So the later we went with FIFA, the more I've enjoyed them. So I'm going with 14.
Okay, Mills, do you have a preference there?
Not really. Soccer gaming never really connected with me.
You're going to love this matchup then.
Oh, great. Let me guess. This is the FIFA Pro Evo matchup.
It is.
Yeah. This one I'm going to abscond from.
Okay. TJ.
Yeah, he's most qualified. TJ.
Is this the only FIFA on this list?
This is the only, there's another FIFA, but it's not FIFA proper.
I assume the other one is the one I voted for over.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. Both fine games. FIFA makes a fine game every year.
Do you prefer the last gen FIFA 12 or the first of the new gen FIFA 14?
Give me the last of the old gen.
Okay, we'll stick with FIFA 12. That's originally what I had there was FIFA 12.
That's the right.
So we'll stick with that.
I think you could actually still do online tournaments in that game.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
On that from then was that it had numerous deep modes, well executed features, great gameplay, fantastic online performance, which FIFA always has, and a willingness to innovate despite its top of the mountain status. That was my summary of it.
That is probably the best review snippet I've ever heard you give anything, Brian. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. But the funny thing is, like I said, I think I was kind of down on the whole slate that year, and it may have won kind of by default because I liked that it tried to innovate. Like a lot of games get to the top and then they get risk averse. And FIFA wasn't doing that at the time. So FIFA 12 takes on your nominee, Rich, Pro Evolution Soccer 2017.
There it is.
As the 6th seed. Pro Evo, of course, it's at a disadvantage because it doesn't have the popularity of FIFA.
Yep.
But I think you and I both agreed that Pro Evolution that year was the better game of the two soccer games, and you still think that continues. I think it's kind of mixed depending on what you're looking for out of soccer games, but yeah, I think PES 2017 was pretty awesome for that year. So that's an interesting matchup, FIFA 12 versus PES 2017, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, Pro Evo 2017 is the best soccer game ever made as far as gameplay. I will say that. I mean, 18 is great. 2018 is awesome. I play it all the time. But 2017 is just something. There's something super extra special about it. So super happy to see it there. That just makes me happy. I know it's not going to win, but you know, I'm glad it's getting the recognition because it's just a spectacular game. And you know, I'm playing FIFA these days too. It's great. There's two great games. You know, it's just if you and you know, obviously Mills, you're not, but man, if you like soccer, there are two great games for you to play right now.
So we'll go to the next matchup, which
hold on.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I need to bust the bracket right here.
Uh-oh.
PES 2017. Believe it or not, I own one Pro Evo game, and it is PES 2017.
There you go.
Mainly because there was this one guy on this podcast that did not shut the hell up. You know what? Yeah. This game controls really, really good, and I really, really liked it. And if it literally had all the teams and stuff, I would probably play it more.
Yeah,
I actually really like their implementation of what's that fake thing called? What's their
Master League or the what is it?
Their
the
Ultimate
Pez
Team.
League?
Is that My Club?
Yeah, My Club. That's it. I never play it.
Yeah, I actually like that better than I like their way of buying cards better than FIFA because you just get like one player, but you kind of know what you're going to get. It's not really a crapshoot. Yeah, Pro Evo 2017, low key OP as the kids say.
Best game ever.
Next one, which involves another soccer game. It's my personal favorite, and it was on several people's lists. And this was a game that went deep in that last generation tournament of mine years ago. It's 2010 FIFA World Cup, and that is a game that I think got a lot of us into soccer more than we have been in the past, which says a lot. It takes on the Golf Club, which is a fantastic indie game. It's not the only indie game on the list. There's one more to go. But that game really kind of came from out of nowhere. Again, as from an independent developer. And it's unlicensed, but it really caught a lot of people. And now we have a third game in the Golf Club series coming out. So it started the series. Mills, you got any thoughts here? I know I don't remember if you I know you're not into soccer that much, but World Cup, did you play that back then?
I do remember playing World Cup, and it's fun because you get those national teams, and especially with like it's the one time you can go into a game and play with the United States as a soccer fan, because MLS isn't that popular, unfortunately. It's getting more popular now, but back then, like, No one cared about American soccer, but everyone got excited because the U.S. was in it. Like, you could play as the U.S. in terms of
that was like a decent team. You know, they weren't terrible.
Don't think that didn't hurt in this case. Like, I think that the fact that the U.S. had that was one of their runs, right? Didn't they have a decent run that year?
Yes,
I think.
Yes, they made like, the group stage.
Yeah, and that was a big thing for them. So I think that had a lot to do with it. The game was good. But again, I think a lot of my memories of it are being able to play as United States for that game.
Yeah. And that's one of the appeal. I think worldwide, that's the appeal, is that everybody has someone they can root for. TJ.
Interestingly enough, this matchup does feature two games, developed by HB Studios. They made the Wii and PSP ports of FIFA World Cup South Africa.
Yeah, I doubt any of us played those ones. Rich?
I feel like the PSP game was actually terrible.
Yeah, I would be surprised if I couldn't dig up a copy of that somewhere deep in my video game closet. I might have that. It seems like I would have bought that because I love my PSP. I played it a lot.
FIFA World Cup South Africa. That's a hell of a game. I think I stopped playing FIFA after college, so maybe 2000, maybe 04, maybe 05 was my last FIFA. And 2010, man, that sucked me in. I don't know if you guys used to use Raptor to like track how much you play games. It was of my friends list, it was literally a developer of FIFA and me were the top two players of people I knew. And I think I was like maybe 50 hours behind him. Wow. Somewhere I was in like somewhere like 700 hours of that. Yeah, they made a in-between game that was way better than it had any right to be. From what I remember, FIFA 10, from what I heard, actually, I think I ended up buying FIFA 10 after this. And just the jump from FIFA 10 to this World Cup game was huge. And that really, the stuff that they did in the World Cup game is really the thing that led to 11, 12, and 13 being so good on the 360. And this really started it. And I think this game brought a lot of people back into playing FIFA.
Yeah, that's when FIFA really started to take off too. I mean, it was big at the time, but, you know, over that period of a few years following World Cup 2010, it kind of exploded and became, you know, selling 15 million copies a year or whatever it does. So that's a good matchup. I want to get to the last one here as we're running a little long.
Wait, real quick.
Go,
the
Rich.
Golf club was on my list. I'm so happy that you made it. The golf club was very innovative, especially with the social aspect, being able to play live with your friends or just being able to go play against your friends, you know, ghosts, whatever, you know, as you would.
And the course creator was the other big thing. Yeah,
right. I never ever got into the course creator. I'm glad it was there. I know people made a lot of stuff. It was just really fun social game. One of the best things about golf in real golf is playing it with your friends, right? And you're having fun and you're laughing, you're making fun of each other, or it's just being the golf club made online golf. They did that better than anyone had ever done it before, which is why I had it. The golf itself could be frustrating, especially putting. But, you know, you were rewarded the more that you played it. So I just wanted to give it – I'm glad Golf Club got on there. Big shout out to those guys.
So am I, by the way. I voted for Golf Club too. But the fact that Golf Club is on there, period, is – that's the Golf Club – that's the golf series that should be in this tournament because of what they've done with limited resources and being an indie title. As far as they've gone with the options they do, especially the community course creator, where it's come in this version, like that golf game deserves all the love it gets.
All right, final matchup. Again, I feel for all eight seeds. the number one seed here, NCAA Football 14, won't come as a surprise to anybody. It's a game that people look back on so fondly, not just because it's the end of college football video games, but it's really a great game that holds up, and I do simulations with it every year for the bowl games, and it's still remarkable how good that game looks and how realistic it plays out. Eighth seed, Super Mega Baseball, got a few nominations, and I think it deserves recognition to be in here as well as another indie game. Super fun and super cool ego difficulty that's all on our list of, or on several of our lists when we went through the best baseball video game features of all time. So NCAA Football 14 versus Super Mega Baseball, Rich Grisham.
Well, I have great feelings for both of these games. Not much more to say about NCAA football other than exactly what you said is right. Plays great, still holds up. Sports games sometimes don't hold up. NCAA does, and Super Mega Baseball. Love those guys. You know, we've talked multiple times about how TJ and I have both met them, you know, when they debuted their game at PAX East. You know, it's funny how that goes around. You know, now we're going back to PAX East with Out of the Park and doing a panel and a big old party at Fenway Park. And, you know, I'm happy they're on there. It's great to see them get the recognition. They won't make it past NCAA football, but that's cool. They're just being out there. I think that's great because it's a great game, and I can't wait for the next one.
TJ, any thoughts here?
I really like Super Mega Baseball. Really, really great game in this matchup. It's just an honor to be nominated. NCAA Football 14 was really good. I still miss the ability to do the website stuff that they had. In their online
unbelievable
franchise,
what you could do with, yeah, unbelievable with the online dynasty, the website you could do so
and team
much.
Builder Crazy. And team builder,
yeah. Unbelievable, so good.
Yeah, you could just do all your scouting on the website, which was kind of awesome. I was not an Ultimate Team fan until NCAA Football Ultimate Team.
Surprisingly, we all didn't think NCAA Football would have a intriguing Ultimate Team, and then we all end up liking it.
Yeah, it was really good. Though they did have the one misstep in Ultimate Team where I think they charged you an amount of coins to put a card up on the auction block. Thankfully, that didn't go any further than that. But Yeah, this is definitely a game I still wish they had backwards compatibility for, at least on the Xbox, because that's where I played a ton of it.
Yeah.
So I actually got into a big discussion about this on Twitter today. I assume because the backwards compatibility is just limited and it's not like everything works, that's why that there's something with the NCAA that doesn't allow them.
There's contractual reasons for that. I mean, as far as I've been told.
Yeah, because you're switching the console it's the console that it wasn't.
Yeah, well, there's that.
360
yeah.
though. If you're running an OG 360, you can play it online and play Ultimate Team stuff still, right?
I don't know if online still works.
The reason it doesn't, it's not backwards compatible, and the reason it won't be anytime soon is because you can edit rosters in it.
Yeah, and lawsuit related, yep. Of course. Yeah.
Exactly. If there's going to be a college football game that comes out anytime soon, it will not be able to have any kind of customization in it, because the second you put real players in it, the NCAA is going to jump on you.
Mm-hmm. Right, but that's all because the publisher still has to sign off on a game for Xbox backwards compatibility, right?
Correct.
But if it was just open backwards compatibility and everything worked, there would be nothing they would do.
Yeah, it's not a technology thing. Right. It's a right. someone's got to flip a switch to turn it on, right? That's what would happen. But yeah, I mean, it just they can't. But that's why I'm pretty sure, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. But I'm pretty sure that game still functions online if you got an OG 360. I'm pretty.
I know you can. Yeah, I know you can still download rosters because I do it every year.
Yeah,
I'm and people sure download
all the online
for me.
Functionality is up.
Yeah. All right, so that is the that's the brackets. We'll be putting them up on Twitter. A couple notes that I wanted to point out: four of the top five seeds come from the last generation, as we were talking about Rich earlier on, and five, maybe six, if you count World Cup, of these series are dead. They're gone. They no longer exist. Unfortunately, so it's a little nostalgia involved there as well. But it's just kind of sad to see how much we've trimmed, even over the last 8 years, how many series we've lost. So that's unfortunate.
But on the other hand, you've gained some stuff too, right? So you gain Rocket League, you gain Super Golf Mega Baseball, Club, you gain Super Golf Mega. Club. You know, so some are gone, but some step in their way. These things happen, right? You know, video games are constantly evolving. And who? I mean, my gosh, 10 years from now, when we do the version of the show from 2018 to 2028, how many of these franchises, and we'll come back and listen to this, how many of these franchises do you think will still be with us? A few will be, but can you just imagine how different the landscape is going to look 10 years from now versus how relatively similar it looks today from 10 years ago? The change is going to be almost unrecognizable versus how, relatively speaking, sports gaming right now on consoles is pretty much the same, but it won't be 10 years from now.
So in a couple weeks, we're going to revisit the tournament. We're going to talk about the results and reveal the ultimate winner. So we'll be coming back to that, and hopefully we'll all be involved in that. Thank you again, Rich Grisham, out of the Park Developments. Thank you, Mills Gaming TV, Mills Gaming TV everywhere. And thank you, That Sports Gamer, TJ Lowerman. He's That Sports Gamer everywhere. And I appreciate everybody listening to the episode. We'll be back next week with some MLB The Show, and we'll touch on anything else that happens to come up before then. Thanks again. Take care.
Hey, everybody, we're going to take just a moment here to thank our sponsors this week, Credible.com. You know, student loans can completely wipe you out if you don't get a handle on them. How do you do that? Credible.com. Credible.com is an online marketplace for student loan refinancing, and using their simple platform, it takes less than 2 minutes to find out if you're overpaying on your student loans. Plus, you could save thousands by refinancing. All you have to do is visit Credible.com/PressRow. Answer a few quick questions, and right away you'll get real rates, not ranges of rates, from multiple lenders. Credible.com is completely free to use, and checking your rates will not affect your credit score, so you really have nothing to lose. The average user who refinances through Credible.com saves almost $19,000 over the life of their loan. Think about what you could do with $19,000. So For a limited time, our listeners will get a $200 welcome bonus when refinancing through Credible.com/PressRow. Pay off your student loans faster or lower your monthly payment, whatever works for you. Just go to Credible.com/PressRow.